The Gamer's Quarter magazine is an independently produced quarterly publication by a group of passionate gamers with the desire to create a video game magazine like no other. It is free for download at www.gamersquarter.com, and print copies are available for purchase at shop.gamersquarter.com. Gamer's Quarter Podcast.
This is the inaugural Gamers Quarter podcast. We're going to be discussing Noctis. My name is Michael O'Connor, and we have in our panel today, everyone can introduce themselves.
J.R. Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Mechanical.
Ray B. Williams, also known as Brandon Richard. Good evening, everyone.
This is Ansel Anthropy, also known as Disgiga, or Anna.
Okay, I believe you, Anna, was going to give us a rundown on what Noctis is.
Yes. In 1996, Alessandro Gignola, began work on Noctis, which is Latin for night, as a starfield simulator. Then he decided that he wanted to actually visit the stars that were in the simulator. And then he wanted to visit the planets that were around those stars. So Noctis went through a couple of revisions before, finally, in 1999, it appeared on the internet. In I believe Noctis 4 was the first version that appeared on the internet. In 2001, Noctis was featured on Home of the Underdogs, and that helped the game get a bit of a strong following. Currently the game is in version 4. Noctis 5 has been in development for a while, and probably will never, ever, ever be finished. So that's about it.
Okay, so what we've done is we've picked Noctis, and everyone's played it for about a week and a half now. And we're going to run down, talk a little bit about our experiences with the game and what makes it, I think, worthy of at least everyone's time, at least for a little bit. It's an incredibly deep and complicated simulator. The manual, when I printed it out, comes out to about 22, 23 pages. has a little bit of a backstory. Apparently, you're of all the players are of the last remaining members of this race of starfaring people who apparently disappeared. And although the game is single player, let's say you go to a new planet and you name it whatnot, you can upload that to a index file that everyone else can download and include in their own experiences of the game. That's kind of interesting. I don't actually have enough of background in the game to say whether or not that results in anything weird, odd, or unusual. It's an interesting way to include a whole bunch of different people in the sort of the process and the experience of the game as it unfolds, as people make it unfold.
Right. We were going to, have some sort of session where we discussed any multiplayer aspects of the game, and that seems pretty darn close to it, actually. Could you reiterate how it was that people could connect each other through networks, or not networks, but connect or log in their own experiences to further the replay? Would you mind repeating what you said, basically? I don't know if I caught all of it.
Lucratively.
I think he's just saying that it's massively single player.
Yes.
Right.
Since.
Well, The way it works is, you know, you can, anything you discover, because it's basically takes place in a vast galaxy of a huge number of planets and stars, and anything you discover you can name. And there's a little computer in the starship that you are given in the game, where you can either upload all of all of the names that you've come up with to this package that people can download from the internet, mm-hmm. and have all, you know, get all other people's names for things,
right.
Or you could use it to download yourself, and so people don't actually play the game at the same time, but there's this sort of cross-pollination that goes on, mm-hmm. where you like share your discoveries, sort of. It's kind of it's kind of a weird thing.
It is. Does the game's creator approve the changes, or is it just added to a central database?
I think someone, I'm not sure who at this point, someone looks over them before they're added to the database. Because there are a few rules.
Right. No foul language, nothing named after any existing planets or stars or anything like that.
Yeah.
Which is, it's an interesting way of ensuring that the game remains a simulator of an impossible or, you know, a created world.
Could somebody explain to me how refueling happens? You know, your starship runs out of fuel sometimes, and if you're not close to a star that gives off the type of fuel that it...
Gray Giant, makes. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not close to one, you can send out a help request for someone to come by and give you some fuel. So if it's not really a multiplayer game, how does that work?
How does refueling work?
I mean, does somebody just, does it upload that information to the database, and then somebody else comes across it in their game, and then pings you back, or is there any like real interaction that goes on?
I don't think this game is online in any sense, is it?
Just in the uploading and downloading of names. If you send out an emergency request, I believe the person who stops by and refuses you is just a computer control.
Yeah, it's a bot, I think, just AI.
It just makes a little drive-by, gives you some fuel, and then it's gone. There's no real interaction.
Well,
but I think the magic of that scenario is that if you have an emergency situation where you need, you know, emergency refueling, that it'd be a good opportunity to capture that moment and to be able to sort of archive it, because seeing, you know, another ship independent on its own right, whether it be AI or not, is, I think it's created to be sort of a rare occurrence in the game.
Yeah,
and just as empty as and barren as the whole playing field seems, you know, I definitely want to keep a photo opportunity like that.
Well, that's part of, I think that's part of the overall experience, because Noctis is a profoundly lonely game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
depressing, really. But yeah, well, not depressing, but just. Well, utterly barren, just very, just a very
lonely.
I don't know. It's hard to say lonely, because when starting the game, there's not actually an attachment that you have to anyone. You're not set out on a quest. You know, your motives for continuing on this quest are, you know, for your own enlightenment. And in that respect, it's quite a very enthralling explorative title. But the fact that you start out with everything, you know, sort of the opposite of what a lot of Metroid games base themselves off of, you know, where you have to find your power-ups and, you know, your equipped items and such things. When you start out with all of your options right at your hands, and for you to use this, you know, intergalactic sandbox element to that, it just feels very overwhelming, I guess. And you sort of feel dwarfed by your objective to explore these lands a little bit. And the level of accomplishment that you get from maybe marking your own territory is just very interpersonal. So I think this, to say you enjoy this game, to be able to explain it very well to someone else, it'd just be best to do through your own experiences, and not so much, you know, how quickly you achieved your goals, or how expediently, or how thoroughly you saw them through. It's for the wonderment of the journey, I guess.
Right. Because essentially the only real questing you do is basically taking screenshots to sort of, it's basically the only way you can actually capture what you've done outside of adding to the massive database.
Okay.
And you get some, even though the game's graphics are extremely, they're kind of simple, they're heavily...
Low res. It's still pretty vast, but...
Very low key.
And it definitely adds to the experience. Like, most of the planets, I've only landed on 7 or 8 planets, and most of them have been sort of these cold moon-type surfaces. And the sparseness definitely adds to the sense of loneliness, which... I don't know whether that's an intended theme or something else, but it's definitely much of what I took back from playing the game.
Well,
And I was just going to say, on each planet that I landed on, even though I felt like it was very desolate and probably didn't really have anything too interesting on it, I still pushed my 9 key and just went out as far as I could just to see, you know, if there was anything, even though I only knew the answer myself. Just that sort of engrossment that, you know, the game... impacts on you with its vastness is something to be noted, I guess.
I think... Oops, sorry.
I was done.
Oh, okay. I think that a lot of the sense of accomplishment in the game, the sense of discovery, comes from the vastness and the loneliness and the barrenness of the galaxy, because... You're in a galaxy of, like, you know, of countless stars and planets and things to explore, and I think that when you find something that is, like, really, you know, whether it's like a good photo opportunity or a unusual land,
something worth saving. Something worth saving, or something worth remembering.
Yeah, like something that feels like a discovery. I feel like it feels like a discovery because there's just so much, and so much that's, you know, empty or huge or overwhelming.
Well, it is a discovery because space is so cold and lonely and empty when you actually do find a planet that has plant life or native wildlife. It is a real discovery because it probably doesn't happen but once every 20 or 50 random planets that you land on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how about life? Has anyone discovered animals yet?
No, not in the slightest.
Sadly, I have not. No,
just plants.
I've wanted to. I heard you can hunt them.
You can hunt them?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
That's what it said in the manual.
Wow.
I
don't know what they mean by hunt. I think they just...
Yeah, is it like for nourishment or
no, just for
maybe
kids.
Maybe a museum or something?
Just for kids.
I don't know.
According to the ever-thorough manual, all your food is provided by onboard machinery. So, it's pretty much just to do it.
Yeah, you're...
And to take pictures.
Yeah, you're essentially permanently trapped. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're kind of trapped into this permanent relationship with the spaceship. You kind of have to stress, it's definitely a game where you need to put people need to put some sort of investment into playing it. Both in learning the controls, which are a little difficult to wrap your head around it. Although once you kind of figure out how it works, it makes a lot more sense. But they're definitely not that intuitive. But also in the sense that, you know, I haven't seen any life, and I have no idea how many different planets I'd have to visit before actually seeing a bird or, you know, an interstellar squirrel or whatever these things happen to be. Has anyone cataloged the animals and whatnot you run across?
Yeah, I believe there are only actually, like, 2 or 3 different models of animals that are generated.
Mm-hmm. And another interesting thing that the manual mentions is that the game world in the actual game world, time never ceases passing, even though you've shut down the machine and whatnot, when you come back to it later. Which is, I assume, how some people handling the refueling process.
Yeah, I actually got stranded out in space the first time I downloaded it because I just left it there and I didn't play it for a couple weeks, and when I came back I was out of fuel.
Oops.
Oh, man.
So you actually lose fuel just sitting around in space.
Just sitting around. But the thing is, the trick that most people figure out pretty quickly is that when you want to turn off the game, you park at a gray giant that's emitting lithium, which your ship uses for fuel, and you just turn the scope on, and you shut off the game and leave it overnight, and it'll fill your tanks up with fuel.
I had to do that only once, I think. I think I may be on my road to doing it again, because whenever I try to approach planets by dinoids or dimoids, whatever you call them, I get this braking signal in my HUD. That can't be good. So I'll have to look into that, do some maintenance work, pull my sleeves up, I guess.
I don't know. I get that, too, but I've got over 100 grams of fuel right now. So I don't really know what that is.
I thought I did, anyway. Something I need to investigate. I may need to reboot or restart my program, much like Windows loves to do.
Or maybe you just need to leave it for a couple of days. Maybe your engines are just worn out.
I actually was planet hopping quite a bit because I was close to a sort of sun-like star that whose galaxy or whose surrounding planets had atmosphere, and atmosphere is one of the first signs of life forms. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get the most out of those planets as I could, just going back and forth between planet to planet, avoiding the moons because I didn't know if their moons would be like ours. Probably looking at actually, but I was just going back and forth one side of the stupid galaxy to the other, and I'll be darned if I didn't overheat the thing. I'll bet that's what it is. I'll have to look into it. My poor ship. Oh.
Something I find really interesting about how it ties into the backstory of the game is that it gives you the coordinates for the home galaxy, the home world that your race is from, and you can actually
track on Australia.
Yeah,
if anyone cares.
I got to that galaxy, but I haven't been able to find the home world because it supposedly has ruins and stuff on there that you can explore.
It does. It has pyramids. Can I tell you?
Oh, absolutely.
It has pyramids and monoliths. It's really worth visiting.
Wow.
The coordinates are 000.
Okay, that's easy enough to remember.
if you can figure out how to input them without screwing it up. Took me a couple tries.
Is Noctis open source? Have people developed their own ports of it or expansions?
I don't know if it's... I think it's open source because I know that there is a fan modification that has a bunch of additional features that make it easier just to basically go on a rampage.
Okay.
And photograph everything. But I will look that up right
rampage,
now.
Yeah. Yeah, the Wikipedia entry is a little on the sparse side.
That I find it strange that the Wikipedia entry on Noctis is so limited compared to how the main forum is almost overindulged with information. It's almost unapproachable.
Yeah. What are the forums like?
I honestly don't know.
I've posted on the forums. Mm-hmm. They're like, actually, I think it lessens your enjoyment of the game to look at the forums.
Right.
Don't go there if you're looking for information. Okay, just read the manual. That was my first mistake with Noctis, was trying to find information on the forums.
I think the problem with the forums is there's too much information.
Right.
And it kind of ruins the experience to, like, read through, like, lists and lists of what kinds of texture maps and whatever are in the game and everything. I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely a game that would frustrate and or destroy completist types. It would be this. I'm going to assume it's absolutely impossible or at least unadvised to try to visit every single thing in the actual
game
world.
I think its build is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can actually explore outside the galaxy
It is finite. If you hacked into the game and gave yourself infinite fuel, you could actually smack into the edge of the galaxy.
Ouch. Sounds painful.
But if you actually tried it in the legitimate game, you would run out of fuel and be stranded in the middle of the void.
Blackness.
So you probably shouldn't do that.
Does the AI come out that far?
I'm not sure. But the thing is, they'll only give you 3 grams of fuel.
Right.
So it won't really get you out back to a planet.
So you might end up having to call the help a few times and taking time off to do something else for a few days.
Yeah, you might just want to reinstall the game.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I think that's the point where you reinstall.
Yeah, I was trying to explain Noctis to somebody, and I realized I didn't really have any actual point of comparison in terms of other titles which approximate this kind of thing. Simulators tend to either center around an experience or a specific kind of machine, whether it be a tank or a plane or something like that. Whereas this is definitely on some other kind of thing entirely.
I've heard comparisons to Microsoft Space Simulators, but I don't know how accurate those are because I've never played them.
There is a sort of simulator game that actually is a lot like Noctis, which is called Crystal Pixels, which is basically this some programmer in his spare time, a lot like Noctis, created this little physics engine where he has this little craft and you can go around and go to stars which have little rooms on them with nothing in them, or like a chair, and it's incredibly lonely and blue. And I've played it, but I haven't actually figured out how to fly the thing.
Right.
So, but it definitely, I think it's the closest comparison there is to Noctis.
Interesting. Yeah. Noctis's website is www.anywherebb.com, which is where the forums are. Download the products. The creator has written his own programming language called Linoleum in order to work on the newest version of Noctis. I'm going to assume that's part of the reason why the newest version of Noctis may never actually be released. I can't make heads or tails of it myself, but
how long did he spend on Noctis 4? How long did it take him from conception to realization?
Right.
I believe 3 years, because it was started in 1996, if I remember correctly, and it first appeared on the internet in 1999.
Had he been distributing it freeware style before there, or is it just something he was doing for
himself?
No,
I think it was just on his own computer. He was just developing it and playing it himself.
That's very interesting. It's definitely a kind of mad sort of an extension of having your own little ant colony.
Except the ants don't really construct much to, or at least the ants. I'd say it's ants in the same that all the entities in the planet are generic and sort of have some small similarities to one another. But I'd say that the growth that the galaxy has in relation to an ant colony is, or the progress,
Maybe I should just shut up. I thought I was going somewhere with that.
Are the planets generated randomly, or?
No. Well, I think initially they were, but all the planets that are in there in every game on every computer for every player.
So somebody actually, like, so the guy actually made those planets himself. He didn't just, like,
I think there was a random seed at one point, but once it was the galaxy was populated, that's it. Mm. It's like, so I don't think he didn't, because there are too many. There's too much stuff to have gone in and done by hand.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it is like a persistent world. Like if you visit like a planet that someone else named, it's the same planet that they visited when they named it.
Right.
It's kind of like Spore, only from the other end.
You know, it does, in the Wikipedia entry for Noctis, it actually says, some fans of Noctis are also looking forward to Spore.
For obvious reasons.
Some of them may also like cake. But, yeah, I could definitely see a sort of connection in the sense that Spore is trying to build this from the other end, starting from tiny, tiny baby organisms to a fully fledged world, whereas it's just starting with a fully fledged world with no
tiny, tiny organisms. Yeah, with nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was very excited the first time I saw plants. I was like, plants, yes, something that was like actually alive. Because I don't know about the rest of you, and I thought maybe I was just not thinking of it the proper way, but I had a hard time like wrapping my head around how everything worked, especially because the entire game is basically experienced inside this one room in this ship, and it's done in such a way that when you bring up options, they come up on a screen, a sort of a way of forcing you of interacting with the environment as a as more of a fact than a simulator than a game.
All right, because scrolling menus can only be so fun for so long. It's as manual and interactive as it is, it's mostly as a means to, I guess, just putting in the realization or putting you really in the shoes of the avatar that you're trying to become. That of an explorer, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely fulfills that.
That is really true what you said, though, DeHex, that, or O'Connor, I apologize.
Whatever.
forgive me. Whichever works for you.
Both.
That this game would just be extremely horrendous on a completist fan, myself included, because there's the options that are in front of you are just so limitless, and... for me, in my case, you have a game in your possession. You own a sort of titleship to it. You essentially are in control as to how much you choose to take from the game. And me being of small funds, and I try to get the most out of every game that I have. So having this one in my library and... finding some, you know, small asinine things, you know, to be a little bit tedious, such as the interface and occasionally, you know, the lack of immediate, you know, progress or goals that, you know, objectives that you're meant to reach in the game. It really reconceptualizes how you should view the game or how you should view games almost in general, because you're not, you know, going to get 100% rating like this, like you would with a Ratchet or Clank game or something by Naughty Dog or something like that. Your entire enjoyment with this game is going to be, one, solely interpersonal, and two, just self-completion, I guess. Just self-rewards, you know. Things that you would, you know, pat yourself on the back for, and not, you know, I don't know, not having to rely on any sort of user ranking to see how well, you know, you matched up against other players who maybe have tried to culminate some sort of tactic as to reach planets the fastest or whatever. There is no, you know, essential time elapse or, you know, thing like that.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. It's almost boggling.
So
mind-boggling.
On that point, could we even consider Noctis a game in the proper sense?
I would say...
I mean, is it goal-oriented, or...
Well,
it's really not if you think about it. I mean, you're just
there's no goals. There's like no direction at all
of exploring. Right. It's just there, and what you do with it is what you put into it, and that reflects how much you get out of it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a simulation of an unreal world that feels extremely real. Because even in a sense, I don't even believe the planets that other people discover are named. I mean, they're named, but they're not given titles. Nobody's name is attached to having discovered them. I don't believe. And
well, you can leave comments, and then you can leave your name that you commented on it. So there is sort of that.
This is on the forum, or
I think it's in the manual.
Yeah, you can when you like just like you can name worlds, you can I believe you can affix comments to them.
Okay.
And that goes through the data into the database that everyone can download and read from.
I see.
Interesting.
So that does give it a sense that there are other people there because obviously somebody found this planet and they named it and they wrote a few words about it and then signed their name, but you never encounter them, and they'll never encounter you.
Right.
That's really the only link you have to them.
So in that sense, it's almost more like a like old-fashioned chess by mail or backgammon by mail type game.
Mm.
Except there's no competition.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, get a group of people together and say, let's see who can, you know, discover the most planets or whatever.
Right.
That would be an interesting project, actually.
It would be. I would despair at actually participating in it because I don't believe I'd ever actually, you know, find anything.
It would be a long project.
Yeah.
Because there's so many planets.
Yeah. Has anyone ever given?
They're kind of a few.
Yeah. Has anyone ever given an indication of how much is left to be named, or is that kind of part of the great mystery and secret?
You mean the total number of planets in general?
Right, versus what's already been named.
I would
know
where to start.
You'd think that would be some kind of information you'd find on the forums or something.
Right.
But you probably won't unless you dig for like 3 days.
Yeah, again, it definitely...
I'm just complaining about their forums, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, it's again. It kind of comes back to this this investment idea where you're definitely forced to commit both time and some mental power to throwing yourself into it. And even with like the simplicity of the graphics or the sparseness of the interface, you definitely have to personalize it because it's all you basically have is your interactions and your explorations. Outside of the hunting. I mean, I would love to be able to find a planet with something on it and kill it just to say, well, you know, I finally found something. And then killed it.
Conqueror.
That's what the cowboys were thinking, I'll bet, with buffalo.
No, definitely a similar idea.
It's hard to really get a sense of triumphing over anything outside of maybe maiming a few innocent, peaceful, passive creatures that may inhabit a certain land. But I don't know. There's no actual projection that you can put out onto your world. It's all you can only capture things, you know, for historical reference. And certainly a very intellectual approach, I guess, if you were to call this a game instead of, you know...
Simulation.
Well, right. Simulatory game. Simulatory game. I don't know.
I feel like part of... Like, I feel like Noctis, like the experience of Noctis, is more I feel like Noctis, the profundity of the experience, if it is in fact profound, comes, a lot of it comes from the fact that Noctis is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, it's like you can theoretically, from the moment you start, you can theoretically go right to a yellow sun and go right to a life-bearing world, but it's a lot of reading the manual and working out the controls and figuring out where to look for things before you actually have the experience. And
because, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. In fact, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, so it's a lot of work to discover something, and you're not given a goal. And then if you discover something interesting, the game itself does not acknowledge your accomplishment.
Right.
And so that all of the reward is within, is in your own, it's all very internal. It's like the experience of the game is that, I'm not wearing this right. Okay, I'm gonna leave it there. Yeah.
Well, still true enough though.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, I feel like that is why the experience of playing Noctis is so powerful, because you're not given a goal and your goals are not acknowledged by anyone other than yourself, and it's very hard work.
Right.
And there we go.
There's no tutorial or anything like that.
It's basically a game in the purest form, because it's so sparse in every aspect of it. And the only way you actually get any enjoyment out of it is if, you know, exploring the final frontier or whatever is appealing to you at all.
From the start of the game, I'll go ahead and put myself on the rack for this in saying that I didn't finish reading the manual entirely. Yes, I know.
I only skimmed it myself.
Yeah, I basically had to start and go through it paragraph by paragraph, because I read it on like the train ride back from work before I tried it for the first time. And I'm like, okay, this makes sense, that makes sense. And then when I finally sat down with the game, I hadn't printed out the manual, and I was just like, all right, this is not working at all. I would definitely recommend to people just starting out that they print out the manual, sit down, mm-hmm, and go through it step by step while playing the game itself, because other than that, you're going to get completely lost. The manual isn't arranged all that well. It's a lot of block paragraphs.
Nor is it worded that well either. It kind of takes a while to get to the point in some spots.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll assume the guy's Italian and his English is not his first language.
Well, I had no idea that he wrote it.
Right.
I assumed
that's true.
It
could have been written by someone else.
I think it was translated, but still he had to translate off of whatever notes that the programmer must have kept or something, or his own experiences. Yeah. So I can let him pass for being a little bit flighty, I guess, or arrogant.
Obtuse?
Or not. Well, just, yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's the one.
Yeah, I mean, the entire game itself, I think, is something like a meg and a half in terms of its actual size. The manual is probably half the size of the actual game. you know, which makes it even more remarkable when you start this thing up and consider that, you know, you're playing a game world that's so huge and so tremendous that you could never possibly see everything.
Hmm.
You know, and especially in an age of multiple CD installations and whatnot, especially on a PC platform, that's fairly impressive in and of itself. And that I think that allows people to feed back into it and in very, very lonely and sort of anonymous ways add to other people's experience of it is extremely remarkable. It's definitely, it's not quite like people modding or taking apart a game, but
right,
sort
make
of simultaneously
it better,
playing it. Yeah.
It's a very curious game. It's just, the main reason why you play it is just to answer questions or to, find whatever self-made goal that you set out on, whether it's to get to that one planet without having to worry about having to, you know, conserve fuel, or hoping that, you know, a great giant is going to be nearby so that you can, you know, reserve fuel without having to, baby crawl your way to one for 15 or so minutes while you play solitaire in the meantime. It's a curious game, and it's one that is certainly deserving of attention, and I don't know if it'll get, you know, that much attention with people like me who have short attention spans and don't have the patience, I suppose, to try and put up and learn these interfaces. Mm. I guess in a sense I'm still looking for a reward from the game, that I'm still looking for something to latch onto so that I can be influenced enough to continue playing, because as it stands now, I really haven't run into anything too much that has really enlightened me enough. You know, I haven't run into any plant life. Mostly all the planets that I've inhabited are just, you know, mounds and craters and here and there. And a few of them had a contrast setting that was just too low for me to even see anything. It looked like I was running through a old Steamboat Willie, old Disney cartoon or something. Everything being in a very large shade of black and intense gray. I guess I'm still experimenting, or I'm still playing the game in a sense. I think anyone who plays the game will still be playing the game in order to at least find something to latch onto, or find something to motivate them.
Right.
Some sort of,
or at the very least, they'll return and find their ship has no fuel and they're floating in space.
That'll give them something to do.
I just play to take pretty pictures. That's
yeah.
It certainly provides the opportunity mm-hmm. if you're willing to work at it.
Yeah. Well, it kind of takes a little ingenuity, because the way the textures are worked, it's very hard to tell depth in a still picture of Noctis. So it's taking really good photographs is kind of a challenge.
And yeah, I'm looking at the photographs you posted on the Gamers Quarters forum.
Oh, you mean that while ago?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm going to post some new ones. I got some new ones for when this podcast goes up.
Nice.
The panorama shot is especially nice, as is the sunrise.
Yeah.
But Noctis is basically, as a game, it's a blank slate that requires the external projections of the player to reap any kind of enjoyment or reward out of it. And it's so captivating at the same time, because there's always the constant sense of discovery. And I guess you could, in some loose way, say that discovery is tied to progression in a very loose sense, that, you know, you feel like you're progressing not to some definable goal, but just that you're making progress by seeing new things and discovering planets that you haven't discovered before.
Yeah. It's certainly a case of art imitating life, I suppose, in that just a lot of the heavy lifting work that you have to do to, you know, get up to speed enough to feel like you're making progress, and to continuously, you know, keep on that road, much like you would if you were trying to ride a bike or trying to go to the gym regularly. It's just a consistent attachment that you have with the game in order to really feel like you're getting somewhere with it. Because, you know, what small experiences you do take with it, you should archive. Because if you forget them, then it's just like forgetting a page out of your journal or something. Even though it's like your own personal, you know, experience, and, you know, it's your own little vain opinion on how that went, it, you know, it's still yours. It's still something that you can have an appreciation of.
Yeah. If you don't document it, it's if you don't document it, it's like you pretty much not played it at all.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
No, we'll definitely all be posting screenshots and whatnot. Hopefully I have some that are actually worth looking at. But
I'm going to figure out how to, and then I'll post some.
Ditto. Same here, actually.
I haven't read that part of the manual yet.
I imagine they get said a lot about this game. I haven't quite gotten to that part of the manual yet. One interesting thing I want to kick around was looking at the manual now. There's a mention of the Star Drifter, which is the name of the craft you pilot, has a weapon system, but you can't actually use it, and it's
because
being a peace loving race,
you have you're equipped with a fationic cannon, which can destroy a planet, but being a peace loving. A member of a peace-loving race, you would never resort to using weapons.
Right, so you just can't. Build them.
You can't use it.
So you it's like get they tell you about it, but they don't give you any sort of inkling or that you have the option at all.
Yeah.
It's not even in the game.
It's not
actually.
There.
Yeah.
And that's definitely the...
There goes trying to open up GameShark to find it. Oh, well.
No, I think that's definitely the right choice to make because... Any sort of griefing in this at all would result in a real utter wasteland in a few weeks, probably.
If they unlocked the cannon, the half the galaxy would be gone.
Yeah. If only for people becoming frustrated, yeah.
How many planets? There's nothing here. There's nothing on this planet, so it's not worth landing on. I'm going to blow it up.
All it takes is just one person going around demolishing planets and then uploading it to the database.
Yeah, and everyone else's experience would be profoundly altered or ruined.
Thoroughly tainted. It would kill the game, basically.
So, in that sense, it manages to engage a multiplayer aspect that doesn't actually screw with other people's enjoyment or experience of the game.
Right. And I think it could happen, just like as I was saying earlier, that there's no way for you to really project anything onto these worlds. As far as I know of, anyway. I don't know about...
No, you can't litter or anything like that. Just too bad.
No, you're a member of a race that does not believe in resource wasting, etc.
No littering.
You leave no waste behind.
How very convenient.
Yeah, I mean, by removing those sort of personal touches, it forces people to concentrate on the universe itself rather than screwing with it, as it were.
Right. Making it worse for everyone else.
Yeah.
Basically.
But, so does anyone have any interesting anecdotes or anything they'd like to share about the game?
Oh, I just think that the stars are very attractive. That the ones that the planets circle around when you approach a system, how they pulsate with their flares, it's sort of in the same pattern, you know. It's just like, you know, a low-risk GIF animation, basically. But still, just seeing some sort of, you know, interaction, just sort of, you know, kinetic movement out in this, you know, vast, dank world, it's that's rewarding in itself, really.
Have you been to a multiple star yet?
Multiple star?
Multiple,
so.
Like a binary star?
Like two stars orbiting each other?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Class SO8, check that shit out.
There you go.
SO8, I'm there.
I always get really excited when I'm on the approach and I see the star getting bigger and bigger, and even though like 9 times out of 10 there's nothing really there of interest but maybe a moon or a gas giant, it's still that sense of maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
That's really what keeps me going as far as playing the game, because I'm always looking for something.
Yeah.
And even when I do find something and it's just like a moon that's just a barren rock, I still land on it just to walk around and look up at the star that it's orbiting from that surface. Yeah.
No, I was very happy and very pleased. I felt like I had done something really big when I finally found something I could land on. You know, even though it was basically a black and white moon.
Yeah.
Because the stars are very pretty, especially the brighter ones.
Yeah. Oh.
And we should definitely try to track down the creator and see if he would do an interview, if not an actual podcast, so we could lay down some of these questions for him more directly.
All right.
Especially in terms of what he thinks about having all these people sort of involved simultaneously but indirectly in the the expansion of his world.
Because we each have our own story to tell, really. We played the same game, and I'm sure most of you have clocked in more hours than I have, but it's still just a vastly varied field of opinions that we have over it, or field of experiences. That's certainly commendable. Yeah. Hope he's up for it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a very interesting person. I mean, kind of like those stories of the rock star that disappears for 20 years and then comes back to record his comeback album. He's been writing songs for 20 years, but they're all scribbled on post-it notes and like pieces of old dinner napkins stuff. And,
yeah.
Definitely a monstrous undertaking to devote 10 years of your life to one game. You know, and maybe that's part of why the game requires so much like time and work, is that, you know, it's the product of an insane amount of time and work. Anyway, as a closer, how would you guys sell this game to someone else? If you're gonna try to convince somebody else to play this, how would you convince them?
I would start by saying that the game is not goal oriented. Well, some of the footnotes that I would mention to them for the game is that, you know, it's not goal-oriented, it's not graphically intense, it's going to bore you on occasions, but that the reward that you get from it is going to be self-evident when you actually do something, because if you just try to complete it and plow through it without giving any forewarning to, you know, the manual, the time that you need to invest into learning the game, that, you know, it's going to be totally overwhelming to you, and that the self-accomplishment is going to be coming from, you know, just learning. I wouldn't inform them on how to actually, you know, I wouldn't instruct them as to how to progress in the game, as you guys wisely decided not to do when I pleaded, you know, for assistance in the forum. I don't know. It's I don't even know if I have friends that would be interested in this game, to be honest. I would just note to them as footnotes that it's a very self-endowed game, and you probably won't be, you know, calling me up, you know, at 3 a.m. in the morning and tell me how awesome it is, most likely, but that if you have any experiences that, you know, you shared, and if you'd like me to share some as well, that we should get on top of that, because while very introverted, it's also a very serial, serene game that can be enjoyed if you have an imagination. That's my little rant, sorry.
Yeah. you go ahead, Des. I'm still thinking.
Right. Hey, so the question is, how would you sell Noctis to someone?
Since it seems you've done a fair amount of evangelizing for this title.
Yeah, I would do absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I would... I think that's part of the Noctis experience, is that you have to find it with no goal or direction and figure it out completely on your own. That's what Noctis is all about.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Because as annoying and frustrating as it was at the beginning, it definitely, when you finally find something, it was just, I was so happy to find something. Yeah.
When you go from, you know, crawling to learning to stand to walking to sprinting, in a sense, there's certainly, you know, that evolution of, you know, knowledge that you grow from the game. That's definitely rewarding. It's almost a learning game in a way.
If I had to sell Noctis to somebody who had never played it before, I'd tell them it isn't really a game. It's just something you do.
Hmm.
And I'd probably just leave it at that and let them figure out the rest.
Because Noctis, it's just that, something you do.
That seems to be the name of the game here with this. Is.
Sort of in the vein of sandbox title like GTA, only certainly very, very more toned down. almost stripped away.
It's almost, a lot more obtuse.
Yeah.
Man, if I had to give Noctis a subtitle, I think it would a tagline. I think it would be, "My God, it's full of stars." I think that would work really well.
Yeah, we should definitely suggest that to him.
We should write to Alessandro. God.
But I think everyone that's going to play it should at least play it for a week.
Yeah.
To get used to it and see how they take to it. And if you're still playing it after that week, you'll probably be playing it for
forever,
or as long as you want to.
Yeah, I've found myself off and on turning it on for a little bit and just kind of putting around. And once I kind of got over the mindset that I had to do something, it became a far more enjoyable experience.
Right. It was a very scenic game.
It's a great way to kill time.
True.
Yeah, I think it'd be like really doing something.
I think it'd be really great on the DS, you know, because it's got that whole Wi-Fi thing, and maybe you could add some more of a multiplayer aspect to it.
Yeah, and the when you turn it off, it still plays thing.
Yeah,
like it works. You know, like it works with Animal Crossing to some extent. I think that would be pretty good on the portable system.
Yeah.
Being Nintendo's answer to Spore, I guess. Oh, sorry.
I don't know if being on a handheld system would sort of diminish the huge, like the feeling of vastness, though, or the loneliness.
Well, no, but it is a game that you kind of play in spurts or at long stretches of time. So it goes either way, so it probably work really good. I mean, I think the graphics would probably be a lot more appropriate on a smaller screen.
Yeah, because stretched out to like 1024x768, it definitely looks a little even weirder than usual.
A little blockier than usual.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's full of squares. Noctis, oh my God, it's full of squares. Podcast, honey.